Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Kissel, I hope you're ready to come clean.
For what?
I want you to acknowledge how you were voted biggest kraut at the Grandpa's Secrets Festival in 2009.
My father actually had, you know, our license plate growing up, it said Big Kraut on it. Because that is true. That was his nickname. That was on the CB. My father was a truck driver for CCX. He was Big Kraut because he was German. So you're not that far off. Although, wow, sadly, I never actually won any pageants. And that's because of society's problem. That's not mine.
You have to disavow Grandpa's Secrets because that organization be taken apart.
Technically, we have disavowed. We have disavowed.
My father, I finally saw, speaking of Grandpa's Secrets, I saw my family for the first time in a year and a half over the weekend in Florida. Oh. And my father, we're out at the pool in the backyard, and out of nowhere, he goes like, "Oh, Henry Thomas, you got breasts just like me." And he acted like it was this wonderful revelation, and it was this revelation. And we went and we compared bodies, and we have the exact same bodies.
But didn't your mom say that your father was dying?
No, he's fine.
Okay, welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. I'm so happy to hear this. Your father is back. He's doing great. You got the same size titties. This is awesome. So it was all drama for nothing.
He's a little bit more quiet than he was back in the day, but honestly, he's fine. He's getting around. But it is just so disconcerting because we do have the same exact body, but we were in the store.
Is he as hairy?
No, I get that from my uncle.
Okay.
My uncle is super hairy. We don't know where those genes came from because my grandfather is fucking hairless as an otter. So I don't know what happened to me. I don't know how I got all of this. But my mom, we were in the store and I was with the cart. And at some point she just looked at me. She's like, "You built just like your father." And it's like, stop looking at me like this because I'm looking more and more like him every year.
Yeah, but also it's a little bit freaky. Has your mom been on these smut sites normalizing these familiar relationships? I don't think that this is a very good thing. That's a very strange thing for your mom to say.
I think it's just the edibles. And she's slowly becoming more observant, but it really is true. It's shocking. We just both have the same spheroid on two little chicken leg bodies, because even my father's lost a lot of weight, but now that I've lost a lot of weight, it's almost the same thing. It's like we just have the same loose yet fat yet weirdly tight, like his legs look good.
Wow.
Same, like, awful feet.
Like handsome father, like handsome son. The Zabrowski family line continues to just prove how powerful it truly is. Also, I have to mention, I made one mistake last week. It's the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire Factory. It was the factory fire of the Triangle Shirtwaist. That's where everyone died. They were like, let us out. And they were like, there's no way you're getting out. So that was that tragedy that I didn't know the name of.
We learn things every week. Like, and as we said last week, we knew that we were going to get letters about feeding hot Cheetos to monkeys.
Shouldn't do it.
Don't do it.
because the letters, the incensed letters I got from the only way I can describe them as monkey doctors who are all like, I can't believe you would even suggest or even remotely celebrate the feeding of hot Cheetos to monkeys. And I was like, no, I know it's bad. I know. And then I now know it's incredibly bad.
I'm the monkey because I wanted the hot Cheetos.
I know, but we can't celebrate people breaking into monkey enclosures. And the one thing that really pointed that was really that I'm going to say is the real issue is one email said, do you have any clue how long the meeting at the zoo will be after all of this comes out? He's like, you're talking about a minimum 3-hour meeting where you have your bosses are screaming, this is why people are not allowed inside of the monkey enclosures. And
sure.
We're like, we know.
I didn't see one sign that said no hot Cheetos allowed. Why do you sell hot Cheetos at the concessions? Get them out of the zoo if they're that dangerous to the animal then. And I'll be fine with that. Don't bring hot Cheetos in. Don't sell hot Cheetos. Well, they're not good for the gorillas, so don't do that. Obviously, we were doing a little bit of humor because some would argue this is a comedy podcast.
I don't know what brain disease people think this is comedy, but we do. And that's all that matters when it comes down to it. I also want to say, so big news that happened last week right before we recorded was that Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell finally got indicted for first degree murder, because up until this point it has just been for like, I don't know, letting a child get too far away from you, illegal dirt napping of a child where you're just like, you're not allowed to do, you can kill a child, but you can't dig a grave for a child.
Perhaps wearing white after Labor Day.
After Labor Day.
Which is not good, yes.
Because honestly, and if you do that, because they definitely travel to Hawaii quite often, so you get investigated by the fashion FBI.
Yeah.
Especially if it's interstate. Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell, they can be indicted for first degree murder. But as soon as that happened, guess what came out?
What?
Now they're saying Lori Vallow, it is not, she's too mentally, quote unquote, unsound to be persecuted for first degree murder.
I don't know. That seems like a bit of a stretch to me, because it seems like she had premeditated thoughts, and then maybe you can still be crazy and kind of a psychopath, and that doesn't mean that you can't stand trial. But I do want to plug this little YouTube clip that we've been watching.
Dude.
There was an hour-long YouTube video. It's just about how to tell if someone is faking psychopathy.
Well,
and
he does a bunch of true crime stuff. Let me find the name of this.
Because this
channel.
Dude is
Because this
dope.
Guy crushed it.
Yeah, he's so great. The YouTube channel is great. They have Nicholas Cruz as the majority of this hour-long video, because he's the Parkland shooter. The entire police interview, he's trying to pretend like a demon told him to do it and all of this true nonsense. And I know it's true nonsense. We know it's true nonsense, because when the detective leaves, the behavior changes, but there's still a camera there. And it's absolutely fascinating, because
this
they also play audio of a true criminally insane person. And that was scary, dude.
Scary. The channel is called JCS Criminal Psychology, and he's got a bunch of good videos on here. I've watched a couple of one. There's something about Casey's really interesting. The other story, the bizarre case of Stephen McDaniel, is a really interesting topic. But what I really like what this channel does is talk about the cops' tactics with interrogations mixed with how they go about it, and mixed with watching people attempt to portray themselves as insane.
Yes.
And watching him talk about the demons, talking about how they tell him to hurt himself, how they told him not to hurt the cop because he's a nice guy, all this sort of weird
bullshit.
But that guy, he was completely full of shit. But one thing that JCS really kind of hit home for me, and I researched it a bit afterwards, talking about the fate of a person when you actually are legally not guilty for reasons of insanity, how you enter into a world that is almost worse than prison, and that the only way you'd be able to handle that world is if you are absolutely in the throes of uncontrollable mental illness.
Yes.
Because let's say you manage to lie, which it's very difficult to do. It is
almost impossible to set up.
Yeah, and you can't get through all of the rigmarole. There's so many different ways that people attack you. Like the one thing that JCS showed in the Parkland shooter in the Parkland Schroeder interrogation was that the detective kept asking specific questions about the demons, being like, do you see demons now? Do you hear demons? Do you see demons? Like, does it sound like your own mind? Is it in your own voice? Or does it sound like a separate voice? So what you do is you trick somebody into giving away all of these details of their quote unquote psychosis. And then they get hammered again and again and again about the same symptoms. And if you show a discrepancy at any single point, you know that this person's lying. And that's how you could basically pop them out of, well, you're obviously not too insane. You made right. all of this shit up. But you managed to get through all of that bullshit. You were then drugged 24/7. Like, and this is not like Crazy Beautiful, Dunst movie. It's not just like big titted women that you could see their nipples through their shirts and that's how you know they're crazy. You know what I mean? They have an asymmetrical haircut and you're like, she does things a little bit different. It's like, that's not the kind of insane fucking asylum you're going into. You're going to a place where you are surrounded by very dangerous people. Like, if you look at the pictures of Ed Gein when he was in jail, that loopy smile on his face, and he'd like wave at people going, he was how thrilled. You doing? He loved it. But that's the problem, is that only he could love it.
Yes, absolutely. So check out that video. It is fascinating. Of course, Nicholas Cruz, a total scumbag, and it's horrible what happened there in Parkland. But fascinating insight into the mind of a mass killer as a doesn't seem like it's a problem that's going away anytime soon. So
doesn't seem to be. But Lori Vallow, I think, is not going to get away with shit. I think they're going to look at her because you know what? She's got that. I'm going to put it out there. She's kind of got like, because we've what we call her. She's an Idaho 12.
Sure.
And she's a very pretty woman. I think there's a little bit of bias that actually that will work in the public's favor because they will look at you being like, you ain't that crazy hot woman. But you know what? Also, we got a lot of pushback from some of our West Palm listeners. Number one.
For what?
They said, number one, they said, O'Shea's is nice.
I'm sure I said O'Shea's would be wonderful. I said O'Shea sounds like the place to go. It's a fun place to have a beer, watch a game. Hey, look at that. There's Casey. She killed her daughter. Go back to watching the game, have another beer. I said O'Shea's was great.
No, of course, but a lot of people saying they want to make sure that the O'Shea's of West Palm Beach is one of the good ones, almost authentic. And then
that's
they would
great.
Almost, and they also, it's a lot of discrepancy of calling Casey Anthony a West Palm Beach 7, because people are saying it's actually probably closer to a 6, and I actually had what? One of her old roommates send us an email saying, you know, you should know, you actually, Henry, you were right on the money, Casey is basic, and that she's highly basic.
RBG says, I dissent, I have a dissenting you know what RBG opinion says? On that.
You know what she says? Nothing, because she's dead.
She has passed away and moved on to judge and hand down sentences in another realm. So absolutely great commentary. Thank you for the feedback. O'Shea's, check it out. I have to move on to a story because, Henry, I am mad at you.
Whoa.
Because what have you been defending?
Organ meats.
Yes.
Mandatory abortions.
That's horrible.
The idea of short shorts on an almost 40-year-old Polish man.
That's okay. Machines, Henry. Specifically
oh, yes.
drones. Did you see this story, dude?
This is not good.
Dude, apparently there's killer AI good. Drones. They're hunting down humans without any kind of command. It's
they're
really
kamikaze.
They're suicide bombing a human being. And this is, honestly, this is the new, you know, I remember when there used to be horror movies about birds and how quaint that is now.
Quaint.
It sounds so nice to the idea of being pecked apart by a series of crows, of crows, as opposed to murdered by a bunch of drones.
What did they say? They said that it was called like it was on some automated mode.
It's the Cargo 2 quad. It's the Cargo 2 quadcopter. It's produced by the Turkish military.
Oh, this is Turkish.
This is Turkish.
Oh, and so you see, this isn't U.S. We're fine.
Well, I think that it's very plausible that it happens here any moment now. And evidently, they were set on some kind of setting. I don't know enough about all that. But basically, they hunted down humans. Nobody told them to do it. According to the report, the lethal autonomous weapon systems were programmed to attack targets without requiring data connectivity between the operator and their munition. In effect, a true fire, forget, and find capability. Why would they even put that in there? Human beings made this stuff. That's the machines themselves are simply an extension of humanity. And true. The question is, do I trust humanity to have something as powerful as a machine that can just go and kill us as we're seeing what's happening with that big ass, what is that, Gundam?
I think needs to happen is that you need a drone license and you should have a drone instructor. Because according to this, so it was put on a, what is it, quote unquote, highly effective autonomous mode. So it required no human controller. So this is actually outside of the human parameter. The lethal autonomous weapon systems were programmed to attack targets without requiring data connectivity between the operator and the munition. Oh, it's like when you download things to Spotify. And in fact,
it's a bit like that.
A true fire, forget, and find capability.
Yes, I just read that, Henry Zebrowski.
Wow, that's
and
fucking
it,
crazy.
It is one of the scariest things I've ever seen, and it's happening, and it's happening now. It's here, it's fresh, and it's horrifying. So be careful up in the sky. Is it a bird? No. Is it a plane? No. Is it Superman? No, it's a drone. And it's coming to, I guess, mess up your hair? They're bigger than you think, too. Don't even get me going on size. They're like 6x6.
It's pretty fun. According to some of the comments on the article, I think it's really fun. I wish they would hurry up and build a robot that could do the housework, gardening, and shopping. See, that would be pretty sweet.
That is,
you know what
nice.
I mean?
But isn't that called a vacuum, a lawnmower, and a dishwasher?
Yeah, but not one that's also got a fucking hole on it you can have sex with. And also, it can play music. It can go and run errands for you. It's like the maid from the Jetsons, but with tits. That's what it needs.
Well, it is the maid from the Jetsons did have breasts, but...
As good science fiction always has, the movie The Terminator introduced Skynet. Skynet is rising. There's not a thing anyone could do to stop it, and anyone who thinks that there is a fool. Machines with godlike intelligence and power created by humans with no morals will not turn out well. That's according to Live Oak 69.
Well, Live Oak 69, yes, maybe it's not the most elegant way to put the reality that we're currently living in. But, he had a lot to say, and that's a perfect comment. That's a perfect internet comment.
Like, when it comes down to it, yes, will these machines maybe kill us every once in a while? Sure. But if a machine could anticipate my needs enough to go like, I don't know, I don't remember my niece's birthday. Wouldn't it be nice to have a machine that just goes and buys a gift for your niece? Wouldn't you like gifts on your birthday or something like that? People, for me to remotely remember when you were born, because I know you were born July 21st, but I have to know that.
You're referencing a calendar.
I'm just saying.
We already have everything we need.
I always forget to reference the calendar for myself. So why can't you have a machine that's got wheels, hands on it, that can know that there's shit coming up in your schedule? Look at the milk. Someone's got to understand I'm running out of milk. It can go and get milk. It looks around the house. Oh, where are all my bullets? I've used all of my bullets, especially this Memorial Day. I tried to do my own 5-gun salute to the lost soldiers in the neighborhood, and people kept saying, I'm a fucking terrorist. Now it's like, how do you think our boys feel?
It is interesting.
And women.
Of course, it is interesting. You're talking automation. That's why Domino's, little known fact, I was hanging out with Billy Jensen. We're actually having a nice time hanging out. We watch our sports ball together.
I'm glad you have somebody that likes sports ball with you and talk about it. It's not me sitting there going, who's that guy? Oh, yeah. Well, Kissel, I'm going to go wait for a hot dog. Bye, Kissel.
By the way, we did get a Dodger dog this weekend. We went to Dodger Stadium, and they are gnarly, man. They look like the nose from Dan Aykroyd.
That's
of course.
Like.
Nothing but trouble. They do look like a little severed penis up there. But they're bringing back, they're bringing for the first time automated pizza delivery. So Domino's, you know what they're doing? They're bringing back the Noid to cross the circuits in your brain, because the Noid came out in 87. And they're trying to be like, it's all good. It's the Noid is telling you all about it.
No. First of all, kids these days, they don't even know who the Noid is. And
no, because
two,
it's not to comfort the kids, because the kids never lived in a world where they had to deliver pizzas themselves. It's to come for the adults.
We live in this shit ass world where I know Mr. Peanut's every fucking thought, right? Mr. Peanut, he's already been murdered. They put him in the fucking ground. Now he's back. I think they just call him the nut. I don't know what they call him anymore.
But
I know too much. I don't know what he is, but I know too much about the inner workings of Mr. Peanut. But then you decide to just bring back the Noid. No fanfare. No talk about the fact that there was that one guy who killed a bunch of people under who, because his last name was Noid. And when he saw all the commercials for the Noid and how the Noid is annoying and all he wants to do is have sex with your son. And you have to sit here and act like, oh, he's not talking to me, even though I have one of the weirdest last names possible. I'm the Noid. All of a sudden, you're already mentally ill and you're watching the Noid on TV, and then you decide, oh, I'm going to show everybody how annoying the real Noid can be, and you start stockpiling guns. Now, this is an erasure, all of this. No one wants to talk about the history of the Noid. All of these commercials come out. We don't even get one, like, intro, like, the Noid's back. There's no, like, oh, the Noid at the insurrection?
We
don't know. Come down to, you're leaving me out here. You're surprising me with this Noid.
Well, we know for a fact Domino's Pizza was definitely at the insurrection. The reference that you made was to Kenneth Lamar Noid in 1989, January 30th, in 1989 at 11 a.m. He tried to hold up a Domino's because they were like, you're talking to me. The Noid is talking to me. And that was really bad. And then that was the end of the Noid until now, where we have automated pizza delivery and we got to bring the Noid back, I guess, to comfort us. And
I don't
probably
know.
Anger somebody else named Noid.
I just don't understand because, again, I feel like the Noid coming back was a bigger deal and that there should have been some form of celebration. And maybe we could see like a revamp of him, or him saying like Slay King or some bullshit. It's weird. It's almost too subtle and it makes me not trust it.
I don't trust it whatsoever. The guy did. He held up that Domino's with a 357 caliber Magnum revolver.
Oh,
so that
nice
must have been a whole,
that's
terrible
back in the day.
You know, he also demanded $100,000. So I don't even think. Oh, he demanded $100,000 and a getaway vehicle of a white limousine.
We all got a dream.
What is the worst getaway vehicle you could ever think of?
I remember
a limousine.
I don't know. Can't take any turns.
No,
like it just. I remember that was like the height of luxury for my parents, because my dad, every once in a while, like we went to the airport maybe three times as kids. And he would rent a limousine to take us to the airport every once in a while. Same thing when we went to go see Phantom. He rented a limousine and we took a limousine from Queens to the Phantom. It was like
on
this
Broadway.
Big old celebration. Oh, yes.
Wow.
We went through it. I remember just thinking, I was just like, it doesn't get any better than this thing. Meanwhile, my dad's like, they're investigating me in the Internal Affairs right now. I'm under a lot of heat. I got to spend some of this money. I don't know why he did it. And then my mom talks about that. You find out, I was like, my mom vaguely brought up how devastated their finances were because of credit card debt. And I was like, it's because of all of that dumb shit you guys did.
Well, those are great memories and you can't put a price on those other than the price the credit
That's
card companies
it.
Puts on there. Just lastly, with this Noid story, we'll have to do like a mini dive on this. The standoff was 6 hours. The employees escaped unharmed, but they did make him two pizzas and possibly a salad.
That's incredible.
He just did a fat man takeover of a Domino's. Ate two pizzas and a salad and then left. And then everyone's like, yeah, that was strange. Huh? That Noid is kind of out there, isn't he?
But again, last week when we said that the ultimate first responders were the pizza delivery people of our wonderful country. But look and think about that. Those pizza people, right? These pizza soldiers, they know what helps make peace in this country. Pizza. You got a guy there with a fucking gun in your face. You know what I mean? Look at Papa John, ruined his whole life. Now that he's looking, he's still desperate to get back into the pizza world. The pizza was the only pure thing he's ever done. They're sitting there and they got a gun waving the first thing they think of.
Papa
we gotta
John's
make this guy a pizza.
Imagine if you have not seen Herman Cain sing Imagine There's No Pizza. Stop this right now. YouTube Herman Cain singing Imagine There's No Pizza. And I think
another fucking dead man.
It's a more powerful song than John Lennon's Imagine. It really is powerful.
What about Gal Gadot?
I love her.
She can't act.
Speaking of, don't even say that. You just didn't like her in Wonder Woman, which I didn't see the second one. I thought the first one was pretty good. Well, the only problem that I had with the first one was they're like, oh, these women are super powerful and stuff. But then it looks like they lost to a kind of a schlubby army in the very beginning.
I wanted to see more huge women fight other huge women. That's what I wanted. That's what the whole movie should have been.
Live from your grave.
The only acceptable reason to interrupt a podcast? Your dog. That was your dog saying thank you for BarkBox. You can take a minute now. You bet your dog. But you're going to learn about Bark. It's the company dedicated to making dogs happy. Yay! Every month, BarkBox designs and delivers a whole new collection of toys and treats just for your best bud. No, Wendy, I can't get you a whip. You're too cute for weapons. Every treat is made with yummy, healthy, all-natural ingredients like pumpkin and sweet potato. Mmm, tubers! My dogs love their toys selectively. But BarkBox sends good little ones for their little tiny mouths. They have little mouths, but strong, big spirits. So they fight over the little toys. I imagine they think that they are hunting and going after little bugs and rats. And oh, they love their life and they love them. They love what BarkBox brings. Because BarkBox brings the bark and puts it in a box. Yep. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/LEFT.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Do you want to do this gun church story? Because I would love to hear your perspective on this real quick, unless you want to move on to something else.
Let's talk briefly about the gun church, because this is going to require a real last podcast look.
Oh, it's crazy, dude. It's called the Rod Iron Ministries.
Yep. The Rod of Iron Ministries.
Oh, the Rod came of from, Iron.
This is a whole story. You should really get into this. If you look this up, this is a wormhole, because it is the... literally worship AR-15s. They're now back in the news because they've purchased a 40-acre compound, which they said is a safe haven for quote-unquote patriots, because they believe it's their, obviously, you know, they're preparing for what you know, Kissel, the imminent war brought on by the deep state that's coming to them. It's very, very close. It's about to happen to them. But the main thing that is connected, the main thing that is interesting about this is that it started by the Sun, of the founder and leader of the Moonies.
Right. And it's also the CEO of Carr Arms, which is a gun manufacturing company.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those
stories. So it
stories
sounds like he's like selling his own product to his own people.
Wait, what? That would be what kind of reason would that be to have a religion, to sell product?
I don't know.
I can't believe it. My question to you, Henry, is we've obviously covered so many cults. This is the beginning of a doomsday like cult, in my opinion.
Sure.
It's not going to be the deep state isn't going to come and take them. They're probably just going to go shoot a bunch of innocent people at some point under the guise of some bullshit reason that they came up with unbeknownst to all of us. When do we, and how would you even, because I just read a great article. I was talking about this for many years on Top Hat, how we're in, there's an arms race in suburbs all over this country. And we're seeing it really come together now in the saddest possible way. And it's very scary. What do you do with this? Like if you're Janet Reno, play my song. If you're old, if you're an attorney general, what do? They have 40 acres. They worship God. The Koresh cult, they still worship him.
They just use guns.
These guys are like, they're shoving up their ass. God knows what they do with these guns. This is just, it seems like a total recipe. It reminds me of that movie Red State.
Very much so. I actually wonder, because then, you know, maybe in one way, maybe there's a way to shift it. If they want to just keep the money, right? Let's say this guy wants to just keep the money. They could start to say that the guns are sacred like the cows, right, in Hinduism, and they can't use the guns. But they can only sleep with the guns anoint the guns, clean the guns, because why make the guns tired? They should just be sleeping. They should be relaxing. Their jobs are to be worshipped. They are going to do something.
Yes,
what I love
are.
Is the fact that they are deeply connected to still highly relevant parties within the U.S. government. You know, Steve Bannon spoke for them.
They had
a guy, Doug Mastriano, who's a senator, has spoken for their like big whatever. He's spoken at their church. He's done that kind of shit.
Sounds a bit like Jonestown, right? They're still pulling in some pretty big political names.
I guess, yeah, it's because we have what, you know, there's so many words I wish I could say. They have control over what I would say one of the, I'm going to use the word irresponsible section of the U.S. government. And they're going to have some influence. I think a way to maybe not do anything, maybe a way to stave them off. I always believe that they shouldn't get a lot of attention. That if you let them just go be weirdos in a corner and live in their little Texas enclave, you know, them right next to Rogan, let them sit in this their little bubble of where no one can ever challenge them or talk to them anything about their crimes. And maybe they'll live sort of in peace. And then eventually they'll have to create some form of persecution narrative in order to shut off all of these guns.
Yes, that's the scary part, right?
Well, because they're on Twitch right now. They haven't even been fully like deplatformed in any way, shape, or form.
They end a lot of their, with their tweets or whatever. They say hashtag MAGA, hashtag Trump, hashtag QAnon, hashtag Q, hashtag Blue Lives Matter.
Sure.
But the irony is Blue Lives Matter, who do you think the war is going to be against? They're going to kill a lot of cops if they ever have any kind of...
It sounds like they might not have thought it out. That's what it really sounds like. It sounds like there might not be a plan. It sounds like they're slowly building it. Here comes... This is a quote from Moon, the head of the Rod of Iron Church. The internationalist Marxist globalists are trying to start a civil war here so that they can bring in the UN troops and Chinese military to come in and destroy and kill all gun owners, Christians, and any opposition, i.e. Trump supporters. We are in the death of America right now, and that's why, of course, God is allowing for our expansion, which is that it's totally cool for me to take all of your money and buy all of this shit for me.
Yeah, also, God did not allow for that. It was a city planner. It was obviously the city that allowed for you to have the 40 acres. Nothing to do with God, I promise you. When it comes to government, there's very little God involved.
It's this idea. They don't particularly understand. It's like what's nice about America is that we will allow them to do this thing. They can sit there and they can, before they start shooting people, it's actually totally fine for them to just sit on this compound with the bullet crowns on and gold AR-15s. It's not only illegal, it's encouraged. So you could sit and stockpile your guns and do whatever you want as long as they just stay your fun little collection. If you just use them as furniture, nobody cares. So
you,
this
you
is
can't
the problem.
Sit on a gun.
If you put it down and you put a pillow on top of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's
people,
what
can you imagine though, Henry, if you lived in this area? So some people, this one woman wants to go by Jane, probably not her real name. I love this quote by her. I mean, it's very scary, but she says, "It feels like I'm watching a school shooting or something in slow motion. These people are just getting crazier and crazier and scaring everyone, and I don't know what's going to happen next." They're terrorizing this town. Like,
that's what they like.
Nicholas Cruz, like, you know, the Columbine killers. It's so freaking,
it's
horrifying.
Really strange, man. You go to these places, especially in this country. There's a lot of rage in our country right now, obviously.
Of course.
A lot of people, I mean, 2020 did not help a lot of people. Never mind financially. And just like psychologically, we've been talking about this endlessly, you know, throughout 2020. I feel like this is one of those. We're now fully in the comic book trans metropolitan. Like, this is one of these splinter groups that are going to happen again and again and again, especially with the costumes. Having a costume really creates a sense of identity. It's the bullet crowns. It's all of the gear that they have.
Yes.
And I really wonder if they can just burn it off by sitting there, because if they go to get them, like if they go to try to arrest them, if they raid them, that's when shit pops off.
It's going to be absolutely horrifying. And that's the scary part. So when does it become, all right, they're weirdos, they're out there, to, okay, they're coming here, they're about to kill a lot of people. Like, when do you make the choice between free speech?
This is,
and,
well, cause this is the problem, right? What they are trying to do, truly, one of the, there is no reason other than to wear a bullet crown than to cause fear. They are trying to cause fear in other people, which I think is really interesting because it's an aspect of their personalities that shows that, in fact, it is they who are incredibly afraid.
Of course.
Same thing, like the idea when people, like, you know, whatever with the mask bullshit, I don't give a fuck. I think I don't care. But the idea of people saying you should take off your mask in places that are not LA, when they get in your place saying that you're living in fear, that shows that you're living in fear. But the thing is that it's more of the opposite. It's more that you've internalized some fear. You are devastated. You maybe your social network was fucking absolutely carpet bombed during the 2020. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you lost, like, it feels really unstable. You are living in a life of fear and then you project it. Stuff like
absolutely.
This is really capitalizing on that fear, because all they're trying to do is, especially with the collection of guns, is asking to be persecuted.
Absolutely.
They want the U.S. government to come down on them. And
when it comes to recruitment, there is no lack of scared people in this country, especially as we're in the new era, as we just talked about, with automated Domino's pizza delivery trucks.
The noise
there's a
can't
lot
just
of reasons,
be
There's a lot of reasons
out.
To be scared. But interestingly enough, you mentioned the Moonies, so I did a little crack research on Wikipedia.
Whoa.
I didn't realize the Moonies, so they were like anti-communist, and evidently the head of the church asked his members to support Richard Nixon. So it's been a conservative. When I thought of Moonies, I just thought of, you know, bad songs and kind of annoying haircuts. I didn't realize they always had a very conservative political, like, leaning. I never really. So I guess this, because I was thinking, would the father of this of the son Mooney, who's starting this crazy ass church, I wonder if he would approve. And maybe he would, because it sounds like he was a pretty big right winger as well.
Our country is so crazy conservative.
And a little bit of, you know, and to clarify a little bit, he was born in North Korea, so I understand he doesn't like the North Korean state and communism. I understand the anger, but the pendulum swing far to the other side is not what we need either. So.
No, it's not either extreme. Also, it's just, doesn't that bullet crown look uncomfortable?
The bullet crown technically looks cool. that's the problem with the bullet crown. I don't mind the bullet crown.
Well, it's, and now they're dressing in full like they're dressing in full Hell's Angels gear now. It's this thing too, man. There's something about this concept. It's like when I see those posters of Trump dressed as Rambo, mm-hmm. like it's this funny idea of, like, first of all, it's a 1987 version of, like, hyper masculinity, which is also very funny for a man who can barely get up a flight of stairs. Because you don't see Biden. No one ever talks about Biden with his shit because Biden is going to eventually have the first rascal in the White House. Which I think is brave.
Would it be the first rascal? I don't know.
That's a good point. FDR.
But did they have the rascal yet? I think he was pushed by. I think that was the rascal again. Took another person's job. The person who used to push you.
See, which, they're what's probably happening? Happy
not to have to do that.
But this idea of like getting it's the hyper masculine. It's this weird like badass fucking Harley Davidson vibe shit that they're doing with the movement connected to the guns. It's just wild. There's a lot of things are crossed and it's all fake. It's all fake machismo. It's all this fake bullshit that they're hiding behind. And it's so blatant. It's so transparent what their obsessions are.
Yes, indeed.
To even talk about it seems hack.
And their main obsession naturally is money. They did a GoFundMe. They got $21,000. This is when it comes to like buying the property. And they say the goal is to expand God's kingdom to Western and Southern regions of the United States. But if you think that sounds crazy, we actually just put somebody on the Supreme Court who said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So isn't that nice?
It's interesting.
Isn't that nice?
Live from your grave.
Boy, Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's what people gather around, it's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good. Each Texas Pete hot sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor. This signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. It's been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. The hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original, and not for the faint of heart. Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor, and their dust dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce and a flavorful dry rub. Tell you what, the other day I was having myself a good old refried bean burrito, and I wanted a little bit of kick to my morning, so I got myself some Texas Pete sriracha sauce, and I smothered those refried beans and that cheese and them eggs in a whole bunch of and it started off my day correct. Texas Pete sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life. How much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/lastpod.
Hey! Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you.
Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast-growing trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it costs, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And fast-growing trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage. It's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Well, this is a story that I think is way more in our wheelhouse. And I'm really, I guess the moratorium is over because this comes from Daily Star. It's in their animal news section, which I think is weird that they say it's like an animal news, like it's like as a squirrel's like skiing, like doing water skiing or something like that. This is the bizarre case of engineer Mr. Hands, who died after having sex with a stallion horse. Now, this is an old story, but it seems to have come back up. This is from back in the day. This is 2005. Aircraft engineer Kenneth Pinion was filmed having sex with a stallion in 2005 on a farm where bestiality was legal. There was a man named James Michael Tate.
Wait a second. Just on the farm. So they were like, on this land, you can fuck animals. But was that farm located in another area that may have been a municipality that said you're not supposed to fuck all the animals?
No. It was legal in the state still. James Michael Tate filmed it. That was a guy named Mr. Hands. It was a twisted group of zoophiles. It was Numclaw. I don't know how to pronounce that. This is in the U.S. state. This is in Washington. Because when Pinion dead and Tate only charged with trespassing, the Washington state then outlawed sex with animals.
Oh.
This was in 2007.
Oh, wow.
This comes from one of the writers of the documentary Zoo. Talks about, if you want to ruin a Sunday and ruin everybody's Sunday, just pop this on at dinner.
That would be that's one of those movies where if I find out it's your favorite, I'm like, that's just a bit of a red flag. I watched it once. It was interesting, but I can't. This isn't going to be in the Big Lebowski rotation.
Yeah. But forgive me for this pronunciation. I have no idea how to pronounce this city. Everyone in Numclaw is very close to horses. It's a quiet, rural suburb with a view of the mountains. Everyone is a horse person. And as you know, the town included all types of horse worship. It was a place where you could fuck horses and no one could tell. What? The line was difficult to differentiate between passion and zoophilia, unless you're caught. If Pinion didn't die, those he hung out with would still be fucking horses today. And no one would have expected anything. It was a paradise for horse fuckers. I'm sure, this is a direct quote. I'm sure they were so angry because they must have thought, we had it so good.
Oh, man. And the picture of the dude who died.
He looks like it. Yes. And I like that they keep putting zoos in quotation marks.
Yeah. Well, the horrific injury was caused by the stallion. His name is Tate, but he was nicknamed Big Dick.
Oh, no, the horse was nicknamed Big Dick.
Yeah, the Big Dick. Nicknamed Big Dick. So he probably should have tried to bang that one because there's only so much room you can go inside of a human's asshole.
Oh, yeah.
The horse hit the old limit there.
Mr. Hands' death sent shockwaves across the zoophilia community. This is another quote from the documentarian. I think the truth is that he lost a lot. Stability, a weekend vacation, getaway place, something to look forward to. They lost a community. When the death happened, they were exposed. They were looked at. They were investigated. It was a major disruption.
Disruption.
And apparently they were talking about how the reason, the big problem with this whole thing was that Mr. Hands was just not strong enough to be penetrated by Big Dick. He said, I get an impression that they thought Mr. Hands was a bit of a weakling. He was an intellectual. He worked for Boeing as an engineer.
That is horrifying.
They could take a horse fucker and not have to go to a hospital. He was effete and new to it. They thought he ruined it. If he wasn't so self-destructive, they'd still be fucking horses on the weekends.
Well, you know, a part of me feels as if he was maybe a sacrificial lamb in this case. And
sacrificial horse fucker. And I tell you what, when Night Horse, the personality, comes on to me, the last thing I want to do is have sex with horses.
Absolutely.
All I want to do is eat pussy and eat chicken wings when I'm Night Horse. All right, because you know what? Night Horse says nay to horse fucking.
Dude, I think that Night Horse is just so brave and really completely nailing it.
It really is.
Before we get to Hero of the Week, did you hear this story about this guy? He's a 29-year-old. He was on one of them scooters.
What about? Oh, no.
He was hammered and he hit someone who was 91 years old. And the 91-year-old died.
Jesus Christ. Honestly, I feel like if you can get... I mean, I feel very sad. I know I'm supposed to respond saying, first of all, that's very sad, obviously. But if you can get died by getting hit by a scooter, that doesn't say a lot about your health.
You know what I went to in this story? You're 91 years old. You're 10 years old at some point, and you say, I wonder how I'm going to die. He was 91. He was probably still worried about polio. But
he probably lived through the Korean War.
Through everything. He lived through some of the most atrocious times in human history.
Death by scooter.
I don't want to get in my grumpy man corner, and I'm not doing it. But I'm just saying, these scooters... Put them away when you're done with them. They're not just supposed to be littered on the street like trash.
The only thing, my only problem with the scooter is when they bring it onto the street and they're scooting in the middle of the street because they are not for the street and people act real casual about them. When it comes I should be allowed to knock you off the scooter with my car if you're in the street.
Well, he was on the scooter with another person. And now he is, he's facing some serious charges because he hit a 91-year-old and killed him. So just be very careful when you have these scooters. Although I understand if you're this guy, I think in his frame of mind, he's like, I'm not driving. I'm just hammered on a scooter. But you got to be very careful because it's still technically a DUI. And more.
Also, we should talk a tiny little bit about this story. I mean, just the idea of how dangerous a man can be. There's a man named Jamie Osuna that was he decapitated and tortured his cellmate. And he has killed several cellies and he's not supposed to have them anymore. But I basically wanted to say this is insane. He managed to cover up his cell with a sheet and they didn't really properly check.
I guess not.
But they put a cellie with him. He was not supposed to have one anymore because he murdered a person. He killed and tortured a woman in 2011, right? He's got one of those crazy, he's got a lot of antics. He's got face tattoos. He says he's a Satanist, all this fucking horseshit. But this guy that got, this guy got put into this guy became his cellie and he's not supposed to have any cellies. And apparently, using a razor-style blade attached to a handle, Osuna disfigured the man whose last name was Romero, cutting out one of his eyes, chopping off of one of his fingers, removing part of his ribs, and slicing out part of his lung. He ultimately cut off his head. He also cut the holes in the side of his face to give him sort of an extended smile.
Jesus.
And apparently he's been found with hatchets in his fucking cell. Before,
well, this is on the state. Come on, guards.
He stabbed up a guy's face. He snuck into another cell where he stabbed and he stabbed this guy's face until it gave him 6 or 7 stitches. They had to sew his face back up. He said he wanted to, when prison officials requested to photograph the inmate's injuries, he declined, noting that he didn't want to risk Osuna getting copies of the photos and adding them to his collection of trophies.
Oh my God.
That I guess he collects.
Can you imagine?
He's very scary.
Can you imagine being this poor victim, this Selly. I don't know what he did to get there, and I don't give a shit because no one deserves that treatment.
No.
The door clinks behind you, and you're like, oh, my fucking God. It's feeding time, and I'm the mouse. Like, that must have been so horrifying for that dude. Oh, wow.
This is incredibly sad. The dude was, it's one of these stories where it was a man by the name of Luis Romero. He was in jail. He spent 27 years in prison. He just got randomly transferred to a cell. He had been convicted of second-degree murder after fatally shooting a woman in Compton when he was a teenager. And it was like a gang, activity thing. He got lumped in with that, and he was actually nearing parole eligibility. So he was sort of like, he had served time for his crime.
Well, and you do wonder, man, if they killed him, if they're like, oh, you're gonna go on parole, huh? Because maybe. In the YouTube videos that I've seen, which again, I understand I'm not a hardened criminal by any stretch of the imagination, but it seems like your final few months in prison are really harrowing because the people who are lifers are kind of upset you're getting out. And the people who kept you in there for so long don't really want to see you go because that's job security to have
it's
you stay
really
in.
Sad.
So apparently it's very like sketchy the final few months. It's very nerve-wracking, which I can't even imagine the pain that it would be psychologically. Anyway, Jesus Christ, that's brutal, bro.
Yes.
Okay, let's not go to that jail cell.
No, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail. I'll be good. I'm going to flip. I'm going to flip on everybody. I'm
not
going to jail. I'm
going
to flip on everybody. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be strong in there, man. I'm not going to write my biography. I guess I'll start. I would work out.
Yeah, there's not much else to do. I think you can use your own body as your own. You are your own weight. Isn't that exciting?
You know what, though? That's the best part about gaining weight in quarantine is that if you just do yoga, it's like you're also doing strength training.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
You build up
idea.
Your muscle. I'm going to teach men how to read.
There you go. That would be just wonderful. They'll love Dune in prison. All right, let's go on to Hero of the Week. And I hope that this hero makes all of you happy. It's a fella named Tony Bennett. And no, not the very
the
famous singer. He's just a dude, man. He looks like a long-haired
hippie.
Left
my heart in San Francisco.
Something about those crooners, man. They were nothing but sex appeal.
That's back when guys could sing and fucking tongue a cigar open with their little mouths.
So there's this dude, Tony Bennett. He probably lives behind this Walmart. But anyway, Walmart's been littering a bunch of trash for 3 years. He's been asking them to clean it up. He's talked to managers, and they just refused to do it. So he cleaned up the Androscoggin River. I'm going to go with Androscoggin River. He cleaned it up himself, and these Walmart bastards called the police on him for doing something that they should be doing. This was a Walmart in Mexico. He was picking up the trash, and they said to him, stop doing all of that. He didn't do it. It was full of empty Walmart bags, dunking containers, used diapers spread out. It was just totally nasty. This is what he said. He said they literally just raked the trash down the banking. He goes on to say they raked from 20 feet to the pavement all the way to the bank and dumped it over the bank right with all the leaves and the debris and garbage for 100 feet long, 20 feet wide, and put it right over the bank with all that trash. It ain't right.
That's a real, this is real, real heroism. They got to fix this.
I completely agree. So Bennett spent the morning picking up the garbage behind the store. But after employees noticed him, managers told him to leave. He said, I'm here to pick up the trash that you're leaving all over the place. They called the police and he was arrested. And I just don't think that that is appropriate. Bennett said, speaking from a phone later, he says, I don't like to get emotional and so involved in these things. I got other shit that I would rather be spending time on. I've got grandkids. But if I don't do it, who the hell is going to? It's been 3 years and it hasn't been addressed. So Tony Bennett, you're a hero of the week for doing not necessarily what was legal, but what was right. And those things are not mutually exclusive.
Not all the time, especially with the crimes of the real Tony Bennett. I don't think he's done anything.
Singing with smoker's lung.
Yes.
Secondhand smoke. Think about that.
Wow. Let's get to some listener emails.
Please.
So this is fun. In regards to last week's episode where you questioned if a bartender would recognize Casey Anthony, I figured I'd weigh in. Back in 2012, I was serving tables at a seafood joint in West Palm. I'm not sure if I could say the name, but it starts with F and rhymes with shenanigans. The hostess sat a couple in my section, and I approached them like I had any other, but, you know, they took their drink order, and by the time I got back to the server station, I was met with a plethora of scornful coworkers, all of them women, who asked me if I had any idea who that was. I said, no, why? And before they could even fill me in, my manager immediately separated me from the rest of the staff and told me to just focus on the table, not to talk to anyone, and get them out swiftly.
Okay.
I was confused, but obliged. See, the reason I didn't know her was because I'm from the Philadelphia area, and I was just getting out of a treatment center for shooting a bunch of cocaine and heroin, so I wasn't really following any current events the years leading up to getting clean.
Well, congratulations on getting clean. That's unbelievably difficult.
Honestly.
And you're also a hero of the week.
The manager knew this about me and figured I'd be oblivious, and that's why they sat her in my section. Every other server, manager, bartender, patron, and busboy in that joint knew exactly who she was, but this was also in 2012, so it was closer to the event. News outlets called relentlessly for a scoop on the event, and knowing how easily I'd won her over with a few mozzarella sticks, I was forbidden from answering the phone, fearing I'd give the store some unwanted media attention. You know, she was nothing happened. She was there with some high-profile PI, who was the dude she was probably banging and working for. I forget his name, the guy that worked on her case. She ordered a cheesesteak,
okay.
And I tipped well.
There you go. That's a little Casey Anthony tale for you. 2012, that's how long we've been living with that saga?
Oh, yeah,
was Kaylee Kuhn in 2009?
No, it was 2007.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, it's like when you said 2012, I thought it was going to be somebody else. But indeed, Casey Anthony has been... Well, she's been a murderer for a while now.
So have... And we have been on murderer's row for that long while.
Oh, yeah.
In my hometown of Virginia Beach, there's a guy who calls himself the Black Widow. This is another real superhero. Unfortunately, he doesn't wear a tight bodysuit and heels, but he walks around in a homemade full-body Spider-Man type suit. He's been banned from many places because he wears a full face covering at all times. He's run into many mishaps with the police because of it, too. I don't think he actually does anything, but he's always dressed up and sometimes goes to events. He's also notorious for sliding into any girl's DMs. I think it's sweet. Oh, still waiting for Shadow Vision. We have some people reached out to Shadow Vision. He said, yeah. Oh, maybe he's like someone said a podcast I listen to does it. And he said, what podcast? So maybe we're getting close. Maybe we can get here. We can find out what it's like to be inside the mind of a vigilante.
Could be. I have no idea what the cavernous mind of Shadow Vision will be. But with the Black Widow, though, he knows that would make him a villain.
That's IP. No, Black Widow is technically, well, she's like an anti-hero.
I mean, she kills a bunch of people.
I don't fucking know. I don't give a shit.
I just think the guy doesn't even understand his lore.
It's probably. Fake. It's all fake.
He is real.
I heard you mention that a dentist had kept Daniel Rawlings' tooth from our Gainesville Ripper episode. I didn't know how often dentists keep teeth, but I know for a fact that I had a dental, I, a dental assistant, have. I've always found teeth fascinating. I became a dental assistant due to that fascination. One time, we had a patient that was a very large male. He was due for extractions. I assisted the doctor during the procedure. Now, we knew that this would be an interesting procedure as soon as the first tooth was pulled because it had an abnormally long root.
Oh.
It continued like this. Each
That's
tooth
exciting.
Oh, yes. Each tooth was just as awe-inducing as the one before it. The last tooth removed was a giant molar. The two doctors with 40 years of experience between them had never seen such a big tooth. It's at least twice the size of an average man's molar. Due to its rarity, I decided to keep it. I cleaned it with the hygienist tools and I ran it through the autoclave to sterilize it. It now sits as the topper to an old amber-colored pharmacist bottle. I always wondered what that man would think if he found out that I not only kept his tooth, but actively display it in my home.
I do wonder. Well, I think he should technically have the right to get the tooth back if he would like to display it as well, I suppose.
Give me my tooth back. I grew it.
Oh, he did.
Well, maybe you'll sit there with that tooth one day and you'll live with it. And you wonder, oh, I wonder what it's like living with somebody else's tooth. And you're going to love the fact that this tooth adds so much ambience to your own home. But guess what, man?
What?
You're going to laugh at the fact that maybe he murdered several people, and having that tooth inside of your home will slowly but surely curdle you. You will curdle and curdle you as you sit and you enter the mind of this murderer, as the tooth, in fact, becomes the truth.
Whoa, Truthy Tooth. The tooth decay is real, and it's murdering my town. I don't know.
This is good.
Okay, everyone.
This is good.
Thank
We're
you
so
all.
Good at radio. We are so good at radio.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We hope you're doing well out there.
Actually, I thought you'd get more of Bobber's ear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's I love it. Oh, I love it. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Give that tooth back. Maybe just
give the tooth back.
Maybe.
Release. Catch a release.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.